you very much. Thank you very much for having me here. Especially, this is a great day. I just learned that today is the 20th year anniversary of Cybergluten, the very day. So it's an honor to speak at the anniversary day. So today I'm going to talk about N equals one variation of Cybergluten theory, in a sense. So this is N equals one theory of classes. This is based on my work, joint work with Prarit Agarwal. This paper appeared last November. Prarit is a grad student in UCSD, and there's another forthcoming paper with Prarit and Ibrahim Abba, Kazunobu Maruyoshi. So hopefully we are going to post at the end of this month. So this paper is mostly about dualities and twists, and this paper will be mostly about Higgsian dualities. I think I will not mention too much about the twisting part, but if anyone is interested in it, I'm glad to speak about it. So this is my rough plan of my talks. First, I'm going to review what N equals one classes means. Many of the audience here is already familiar with this, but I'm going to review just to set up the stage. And I'm going to talk about Higgsing, the effect of Higgsing through giving nilpotent vectors. I will explain what that means in a moment. And then I'll describe a N equals one variance of the N equals two quiver tail, which we call it as a fan because it looks like a fan. And it has nothing to do with a fan of toric geometry. And I'm going to give a derivation from N equals one duality that is very good for illustrative purposes. And as a concrete application of this Higgsing and fan, I will propose a dual theory to conventional SQCD with SUN gauge group with 2N flavors. This is another Cyberg-like dual theory to ordinary SQCD with 2N flavors. This has similar tastes as N equals 2 larger Cyberg duality because it involves non-Lagrangian theories. I'll explain that in a moment, and then I'll conclude with some possible future directions. So let me first start with classes. There are many, many papers who contributed to this subject. So most notably, there's this paper by Ibrahim Abba and Brian Wecht and BQW, Ba, Bobev, Beam, and Wecht. And there's another paper by Dan Z, and another one by Gade, Maruyoshi, Tashikawa, and Yan. And there's another one by Nikolai and Ibu. So these are kind of main references. There's no single paper, unfortunately. So this, what I'm doing is to explore in more detail about this N equals one classes theory. So let me first describe the necessary data. So basically, N equals one classes theory is obtained from six-dimensional 2,0 compactified on a Riemann surface. And there's a particular choice that you can make when you do the partial compactification on a Riemann surface. That is, there's a one-parameter family of twisting you can choose. So depending on type of the twist, you can either get N equals 2 or N equals 1. So here, I'm mostly interested in N equals 1 case. So the necessary data to specify N equals 1 class S is to first pick the gauge group. This is the same group that labels the 62,0 theory. So first I pick that group. And once I pick that, of course, I need to choose a Riemann surface. With genus G and N of punctures. And in addition to that, I need to pick non-negative integer parameter p and q in such a way that satisfy this condition. So this particular condition is coming from the fact that I'm considering sum of two line bundles over the Riemann surface, and I'm picking that degrees of those line bundles in such a way that it becomes the first turn class vanishes for the total space. And also for each puncture, I label those punctures, I dress those punctures with two data. So this is a, so I pick SU2 embedding inside this group gamma. So that labels the puncture. And in addition to that, I give a Z2 valued number, so which we call it the color of the puncture. So once these data is specified, then we can describe the theory given by these numbers. And in addition to that, I can actually, there's one more freedom that I can make. I can also twist punctures. And that will change this choice of group gamma to something else. So I can get non-simply laced groups from this twisting. I just briefly mentioned this. Especially when I pick gamma to be an minus 1, then this SU2 embedding row can be has a one-to-one correspondence with partition of n. So these are the data that labels the punctures and the Riemann surface and all the classes. Okay, no questions so far. Yes. These are not exhaustive. Actually, especially this particular choice, I'm severely restricting set of all possible theories. So by labeling each puncture by this SU2 embedding and color, that this is, I'm effectively treating all the punctures to be n equals 2, really. But of course, in principle, one could have genuinely n equals 1 puncture, and I will mention that at the very last part of the talk. But for throughout most of the talk, I will be restricting myself to this thing, which we call it colored n equals 2 punctures.
But also the PMQ are in general arbitrary
punctures. Yes, the being so this non-negative choice is also kind of restrictive. Yes.
So what does n stand for? N equals 1, n equals 2. Is that supersymmetry?
Oh, this n?
Yes.
Yes, that's the number of supersymmetry.
Supersymmetry.
Yes. So minimally supersymmetric theories in four dimensions. Of course, if either P and Q is equal to 0 and I pick every puncture to be of the same color, then it goes back to Viotto's n equals 2 theories. So let me describe the way to identify the theory for a given data. The way to do is to consider colored pair of pens. So for a given Riemann surface, I can always consider pair of pens decomposition as long as the the Euler number is less than zero. So for a given Riemann surface, I can do this. Let me give you an example. So suppose I have a genus zero surface with some number of punctures. Let me put colors on it. So here I have 7 punctures, and number of those minimal punctures are plus minimum punctures 3, and number of minus minimum punctures 2, and number of maximum puncture is 2. So also I want to pick P and Q to be 3, 2. In order to satisfy this condition. So P and Q should add up to 5. So I'm just picking a particular choice here. So of course, there are other choices. I can pick 5, 0 or 4, 1 whatsoever. So let me consider now Perepan's decomposition of this surface. So let me draw lines like this. So these are pans I'm gluing through the cylinder. And in addition to this decomposition, I also need to assign color to the pans itself. So let me put that here. And the number of plus colored punctures has to be the same as P, and number of minus colored puncture has to be the same as Q. Well, P and Q can be general. So,
could you decompose with Q equal to 2 and Q equal to 3?
P equals 2 and Q equals 3. Yes, I can do that. I can say, well, P plus plus.
Ah, okay, so you can have minus 1 through and plus 5.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
that's because you put.
I'm choosing this because in this case, I know the Lagrangian of theory. So, when I flip the sign, I will talk about it more detail later, if I flip the sign and if the puncture has a different sign from the Perepan itself, then generically it becomes non-Lagrangian. Not always, but sometimes that happens. Okay. So for this choice of Perepan, I get this simple linear quiver. So since I have 1, 2, 3, 4 cylinders, I have 4 gauge groups. And I have 2 flavor nodes corresponding to these punctures. Everything of the same gauge group. And whenever I glue 2 pair of pans of opposite color, then this gauge group becomes n equals 1, and I will shade it. So for all of these cylinders, it connects opposite colors. So these are all n equals 1. So this is one dual frame, and I can choose a different dual frame. Let me do this. Let me just switch these 2 punctures, and also switch the color of these pans. Then the quiver becomes this. But now when I glue 2 pair of pans of the same color, then it is gauged through n equals 2 vectors. So this one is n equals 1, and that becomes n equals 2. And in addition to that, so the rule is that if I have oppositely colored puncture from the pair of pans, then the rule is to add a meson field coupled to the operator that correspond to this usual maximal puncture. So here I have to add MQQ total. That's not the only term, but. And generically for this n equals 1 quiver, I can have quartic superpotential between these 5 fundamentals, something like this. For a neighboring node, And if for the case of n equals 2 node, I will have like usual phi qq twiddle term to ensure n equals 2 supersymmetry. So as you hear, phi is the extra adjoint field. And so one interesting observation here is that I can obtain this description by taking Seiberg dual of this node. So I take Seiberg dualize of this will give me this. So it's obvious how you get this meson, because if I take Seiberg dualize, I will get dual quarks and mesons. So these QQ will become M. And there will be another meson coming from this fundamental, and that will become the adjoint of the of this neighboring gauge group. So that will create this necessary phi QQ term, and that will enhance this, well, not really enhance, that will make this gauge nodes be locally n equals 2. And there will be another bi fundamentals connecting this, but they are actually gone because of the presence of this superpotential. This superpotential will create mass term for this the bi fundamental connecting the neighboring nodes. Because this Q, you can see that if I rearrange this, then Qi twiddle plus this becomes meson of one side, and the other combination, there's no delay. This combination will create another meson. So this will become M square basically. So that will kill this type of meson. So Seiberg duality can be understood pretty easily from this different choice of color pair of pens. So, any questions so far? No, here the gauge couple is not exactly marginal. Actually, the exactly marginal terms are coming from the so these terms, which I have to somewhere I. So these quartic terms in this proposition is exactly marginal. Yeah, this is very similar to SUN SQCD with 2N flavors where you have quartic exactly marginal terms. So let me go to the second part. So far I only described to you the maximal punctures and minimal punctures only, because that's the theory that I know how to describe. I know. But what would happen if I change those punctures to be something else? So non-maximal or non-minimal. And it is nice to describe in Gaiota's paper in the case of n equals 2. And what we are going to, our question is that what would happen if we do the same thing for n equals 1? And before going into n equals 1 directly, let me review what happens in the case of n equals 2. So let's first start with just linear quiver of same rank. In order to get non-maximal puncture, so this is correspond to having just those two maximal and number of minimal punctures. And to implement non-maximal punctures, what I do is to give vacuum expectation value of the quark bilinear on this side. So suppose Q. So I label this by mu zero. And I'm giving Bev to giving some nilpotent Bev to that mu. This rho of sigma plus. So rho is so I first pick a choice of rho given by the partition of n. So So suppose I decompose, partition this N in this way. Then the rule is that the flavor symmetry of that puncture becomes U of NK. So this by means that I have Young diagrams of something like that, and the flavor symmetry can be read off from the from this Young diagram to be like U2 times U2 times U3, something like that. And this yes. So the for this choice of partitioning, the Kuiper gauge theory of this will be reduced to this. And so on. So this n1s are the width of these Young tableaus of the same height, and so on. Now let me explain how to derive this from this kind of Higgsing. So here, rho of sigma plus. So yeah, sigma plus is just simply raising operator of the SU2 Lie algebra. And since I said rho is an embedding of SU2 into SUn in our case, this can be just written in terms of like spin 2n minus 1 representation of the sigma plus, something like that. So for example, let me pick rho of sigma plus can be written as something like this, 0, 0, no, 0, 1, 0. So in this case, so if n is 7, and if I decompose it in this way, I have 3 by 3 nilpotent element here, 2 by 2, and 1 by 1. Oh, 6, sorry. Yes. So in the n equals 2 case, the crucial equation is coming from this superpotential for the chiral adjoint. I have to sum up each node. So the F term for this chiral superfield phi will be this form, which has to vanish. Now, if I give VEF to, say, Q0, twiddle Q0, then I have to pick non-zero value for both Q0, twiddle, and Q0. So that will create VEF for Q0, Q0, twiddle. And that has to be equal to Q1, twiddle, Q1 through this F-term relation. And that thing propagates to until you hit the point where Q becomes 0. So for example, let me pick, let's pick this to be very concrete. And my rho of sigma plus will be 0, 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0. Okay, that's 5 by 5 matrix. I can diagrammatically represent this matrix in this way. Suppose I regard this Q0 as as a linear map that takes me from V0 to V1. Everything are just five-dimensional vector space. And Q02 will take me back. So I write Q1, Q1 twiddle, Q2, Q2 twiddle. By the way, this particular representation I just copied from Yuji Tachikawa's N equals 2 review. And I can represent this thing by, like, because these are basically just raising operators, that will take me the fourth element to 3 in this way. So like takes from 4 to 3 and 3 to 2 and 2 to 1. And the fifth element is just stay, become 0. So these, that element is invariant. And now through this F term, the thing that goes backward in like this should be the same. So from this point, Q0 times Q0 twiddle will take me 3 to 2 and 2 to 1. But 4 and 5 will become 0. So in order to implement that, I can do something like this. So that will take me 3 to 2, 2 to 1. And that will satisfy the F-term relation of this. And I do the same thing here. And now the vacuum expectation value of Q3 will vanish, will become 0. So from that, we see that the flavor symmetry and gauge symmetries are broken to U1 times SU2, SU3, SU4, SU5. Is that clear? So initially, I started from 5. And I'm giving BEV to this guy, Q0, twiddle Q0. And that will break the first flavor symmetry to 1. And the second one, this is gauge symmetry. So it'd be broken down to SU2, 3, 4, and 5, and so on. And it stops. Yeah. Actually, I need one more. I need a box. Yes. Hope that this thing is clear to everyone. So that was the situation of N equals 2. The crucial thing is that the Right. Now things are slightly different in the case of N equals 1. Now suppose I change every gauge group to be N equals 1. Then, as I said earlier, I will have quartic terms between each of the neighboring bifundamentals. So if I take the F term for this Q, say QI, then I'll get something like QI twiddle minus and this thing should vanish. But notice that I can always solve this term. But even if QI has BEV, Q0 might have BEV, I can just trivially solve the F term by setting the neighboring Qs to be 0. So unlike the case of N equals 2, where the effect of Higgs is propagated along the quiver, there's no propagation of the VEF in the case of n equals 1 quiver. So that makes this n equals 1 quiver theory quite different from n equals 2 quiver tail. And every effect of Higgsing happens locally on, so if I Higgs this, then the breaking of symmetry only happens at this node. And the rest of the quiver is just, it's not changing.
Can you describe yourself like adding a bunch of n equal 1 nodes to the right of this potential two scoring? And then that time doing subequalities before and after Higgsing?
Actually, that will be, I will explain that in more detail. Yes, I'm planning to do that. I was planning to do that, yes.
What about the potential that you are to the square? Again, I'm working, but that's one break, I guess. I mean, I think about the potential that's QI to the whole thing square.
QI to the whole thing square. No, actually, we are not. We are forbidding that term to preserve U1, global U1 symmetry in this quiver.
But you may also turn it on and then will the score change?
I
mean, there's a theory that has this potential.
Yeah, but here I'm restricting myself to only the theory with only this type of potential at this moment. Before I proceed, let me give a brief remark about n equals 1 Cooper theories of classes. So I can just reuse this. So I can choose each gauge group to be either n equals 1 or n equals 2. And for n equals 2 node, I will have this pi q q to the super potential. And one of the defining properties of this class S is that it has global U1 symmetry, which is called U1F. This is associated to the normal directions of the M5 ring wrapped on a Riemann surface. So there are basically two U1s in the classes, one being the R symmetry and the other being some global symmetry that is preserved in this construction. And this thing is non-baryonic, and it has to be non-anomalous, of course. And that can be mixed. So this thing can be mixed with R symmetry. So the infrared R symmetry will mix with this. And this epsilon has to be fixed through a maximization. So that is something crucial. So this is something that we impose, and that restricts possible terms that you can add to the super potential.
What I was asking is that if P is equal to Q, you don't have this U1F.
Right. Yes.
Which you can completely break with the.
Sure. Right. No, but that will not affect this effect of Higgsing. Anyway, the neighboring nodes, the F term can be trivially solved by just turning off all the VEF.
For the ones turning on. But then let's just mean the sigma deformation just doesn't exist once you.
Oh, okay, let me be more precise. Of course, F term can be solved by giving VEF to the neighboring Q. That is true, but we are not forced to do that. So the minimal way, from this linear quiver perspective, I'm looking at particular branch of the vacuum moduli space by giving VEF to QQ. Nilpotent VEF to this quark bilinear, but also I want to look at low effective theory, effective Lagrangian, that preserve as much asymmetry as possible. So yeah, I can simply just turn this VEV or Q off. Of course, I can turn on these VEVs, then that will be a different branch. Different branch in the vacuum moduli space. And another defining feature of n equals one classes that it has exactly marginal deformations. Especially these exactly marginal deformations, not all, but some of them should come from the complex structure deformations of the UV curve, the Riemann surface CJN. And it turns out if you just start with some random linear Kuiper theory and try to come up with something that satisfies both of these conditions, it's pretty hard, actually. These two conditions turn out to be quite restrictive. You can satisfy one of them quite easily, but not both. So that's one remark I want to make. Yes, conformal manifold can exist, but the existence of the conformal manifold itself is kind of it's not generic, right? For generic SQCD, conformal manifold does not exist. It's just at the point. But in all of these class S theories, there is non-trivial conformal manifold. And especially some sub-manifold of that conformal manifold has to come from the complex structure deformation.
The number of deformations is the same, not clearly the geometry of the exactly much deformation. Really, is it obvious that it would look like a complex structure?
Okay, more precisely, it's really the number. Yeah. But of course, in the classes, in the n equals one classes, there are more exactly marginal deformations than just the dimension of this.
So in collide functions, of the same type, you get any two nodes which are really double.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, and also in this kind of, I mean, one of the typical examples is that SU and SQCD with 2N flavors. There are quartic superposition between these two, but also there are quartic terms from this and that. And these particular deformations will break this U1F flavor symmetry. And that is, so there are many, much more marginal deformations than just the one coming from a complex structure. So in the n equals two case, there's only one, which is the gauge coupling. And that can be understood as complex structure deformation of four puncture sphere. But in this case, there are many more, which are basically, I think they are coming from the deformations of the puncture itself, in a sense, because that will break flavor symmetry.
You preserve the Q1, meaning only to consider a single deformation. Not clear what the manifold of the deformations actually looks like.
Right.
Not clear if it looks like a puncture sphere.
Yes, that's true. Okay, so I'm really behind the schedule, so let me speed up. Before I go into the main part of the talk, let me mention that I can really, so these R0 and F are both really R charges. So I can use more democratic formulations, which we call it J plus and J minus. And give R0 to be like this particular combination. And this is kind of useful because I'm not giving very special role to R0 or F. So it's a little bit useful to call it use J plus and J minus. And since both of them are really R charges, the superpotential term, whatever we write, should have J plus and J minus charges to be 2, 2, and 2. So using that language, I can give charges of this bifundamental to something like this. So for when the neighboring nodes have different R charges, then I glue it through n equals 1 vector. And if it has same charges, then I gauge it through n equals 2. So or I can more historical notation is to use plus and minus. Hope this notation is okay for you guys. So here I have this particular superpotential will have, so this thing will have 2, 0, and this thing will have 0, 2, so it will combine to 2, 2. So all the terms that have charge 2, 2 has to be there, the superpotential. Okay, now let me describe the n equals 1 version of the Quiver tail. Now let me go back to this picture. And suppose everything is n equals 1 node. Now I can actually cyber dualize the very last node. If I dualize it, dualize this last node, then I will get extra meson. So this meson will have charge 2, 0, because that's a bilinear of this Q. And the dual quark will have opposite charge, 0, 1, in order to make this MQQ twiddle write the correct charge. And the neighboring gauge node will become n equals 2. And the rest will be invariant. Now, from this picture, it is easier to Higgs. So what I'm going to do is to Higgs this puncture, giving BEV to this quark bilinear. But since I dualize it, that became mesons. That became meson in this side. So from this superpotential, that essentially means that I'm giving mass term to this dual quarks. So it is easier because I don't have to deal with D terms. Okay. Then the result turns out to be this. When I pick my partition of N to be this, okay, so there will be, so this quark will be split into these different species. And in addition to that, I will have various mesons. For this N1, I'll have single meson. For N2, I'll have two mesons that transforms an adjoint of UN2. And I'll have 3. And 4. And moreover, I'll have two bifundamentals connecting these N2 and N3, and 3 connecting these two nodes. So this is something that we named it fan, because it's like spreading the fan, the Chinese or Japanese. Let's call these quarks to be Z1, Z2, Z3, Z4, and all the mesons to be something like Mij, P. So we have fields Z that is really descending from the quarks, these quarks, and this M became this Mij. So basically, I'm just decomposing everything. And that will have J plus J minus charges of the following form. So we'll have 1 minus I, and I'll have 0 I plus J minus 2 P. And suppose I have this quark. I choose this to be 0, 1. I can also flip this sign, the J plus and J minus, depending on your choice of the coloring here. So that's arbitrary. That's not all. I will need some the superpotential term, which descends from this. The superpotential will look like this. So this is a form of superpotential by giving VEV. So basically, when I give VEV, of course, I have to integrate out those massive fields. Once you work out this thing carefully enough, then you generate these terms. OK, so let me.
This potential managed to be, I guess, possible maximization. Sorry, not maximization, this is probably
marginal. So this thing, this particular choice of couplings, I have chosen all possible combination of these fields such that J plus and J minus have charge 2, 2. And even after mixing, whatever absolute value may be, this is still R equals 2. So you might think this is crazy because it has like lots of higher order polynomials in the superpotential, and that looks very irrelevant in the infrared. But it turns out, no, they actually turns out to be exactly marginal, and they have to be there. Otherwise, the theory is sick. Yes?
Is it renormalizable?
Renormalizable.
You can make it renormalizable with the impact of spheres that you predicted later.
And you see that the charges of those fields look like that might violate the unitarity bound, because J minus can be very negative. It is less than 0 when I is big enough, right? And this particular combination may be render that particular bilinear to be less than 0, not just less than 2/3. So that looks sick, but because of this superpotential, those operators are all projected out in the chiral ring. There are enough mesons that can kill any operators that has negative R charge or that violates the unitarity bound.
That's interesting. So this contracts law ultimately will be fixed when you include the whole quiver.
Yes.
So far, you're saying that
It's going to be fine. Yeah, so it's absolutely crucial to keep every term. Every term when you integrate out the massive quark. Otherwise, we ran into trouble. And this is the answer. And let me give. Yeah, that would be an interesting future direction. I'd love to understand that, really. Okay, now let me, okay, since I'm running out of time, let me speed up. So let me give you a derivation of this fan from n equals 2 Hixing and Seiberg dualizing it. So as Davide mentioned, so I can start with, let me draw. So that is my section 4. So I can start, I shouldn't have erased that. So originally, I had this linear quiver coming from the puncture spheres, plus, minus. So this will give me n equals 1 linear quiver, where every gauge node was n equals 1. But if you look at this, I can actually make it as much as n equals 2-like as possible by collecting all the plus punctures to the one side and all the minus punctures to the other side. So I can do this. Let's collect every plus here. So I have 2 more here. And I put all the minuses. Right. Yes. And so this P is equal to 3 and Q was equal to 2. So Q was 3. So that is another dual frame. So through the color pair and pair decomposition, I can choose this way. Right. And on this side, the theory is given by mostly n equals 2 node. So I have 1, 2 gauge group here. And third one, not connecting these two, becomes black. So except for this single gauge node, everything else became n equals 2. And now it is easy to do Hixing. Suppose I Hix this puncture. Then what I get will be, suppose I pick break in this way, then it will become n1, n2, n3, n1, n2, this is n3, n. Right? And n1 is given by this, and n2 is n1 plus n2 plus n3, and n3 is n2 plus n3, which is the same as n. So this particular choice is made in such a way that locally it satisfies nf is equal to 2nc. So that's the quiver you get. So mostly it's n equals 2, but only this node became n equals 1. That's a dual frame coming from this picture. Now, starting from here, let's dualize it. So there's only one n equals node we can dualize. So let's dualize this node. If I dualize, the dual gauge group is still n, because there are a number of flavors. N plus n2 plus n3 is 2n, so it's 2n minus n is n. So the dualized gauge group, this thing, is still n. And now I need to put various mesons. So first, I put mesons for here. But since there was already a chiral adjoint, and so I'm adding another adjoint that will couple to this previous existing adjoint, so that gets massive, and I have to integrate that out. So this node will become n equals 1 node. And also, I dualize it. So that happens at this node. So that will become also n equals 1. And now I'll add meson. So I had n3 here, and I need to add meson and the dual quarks for this. And in addition to that, I'll have meson connecting n2 and n3, right? Coming from that, so I have to connect this. So the one dual picture will be like this, and I will have cubic terms connecting these. Now let's dualize once again. Now let's dualize the second node. And the dual gauge group is still SUN. If you do the algebra, then it turns out it becomes N. Now, once I dualize this, I will, so this gauge node will become n equals 2 from the same reason, from coming from the meson. So meson will be adjoint. So this will become n equals 2. And that will become n equals 1. And I will have meson connecting this n1 and n3. So let's put this. And of course, I had this. And from this quark bilinear, I'll get extra meson. So there was pre-existing meson here, but there's another one that is added by dualizing this. So there will be another one, another adjoint. And this node goes down. Let's draw here, and I will have under a meson connecting these two. And there's so dual meson for this quark that became this, and I also need to add dual quark. And of course, I need to add mesons connecting N2 and N3. And this connector will be gone once you dualize it, because once I dualize it, I will create another meson coming from this link, since this was already there from the cubic. So the cubic term will generate mass for this extra stuff coming from here. So that is gone. So what we get is this. So now you see the pattern. So if I do it once again, then I go back to that one. Well, in this case, I have one more node. But one crucial thing is that I need to get extra meson between these two. So if you work out this carefully, then you need, you can figure out that is the right description. So that is a second derivation of this picture. Was everything clear? Sorry?
Do the intermediate steps also access?
That's an interesting question. I believe the answer is yes. Because in each step, you can see that each of these blocks, if I decouple these gauge groups, then I can really treat this as a single entity. And you see that it's essentially the same thing. So just having more nodes. And in this case, this N2 and N3 can be considered as partitioning of this N minus N1. So this itself is a smaller fan. So that gives you a kind of universal picture of gluing N equals 1 gauge groups of different rank.
Can I think of this in terms of some kind of orbifold?
Orbifold?
It looks like some orbifold.
Not exactly, because this is not, okay. One might think that this is close to YPQ theory, but of course there are key differences because it's not gauged. Secondly, it's not really symmetric because there are more bifundamentals. So it's not really uniform in a sense. And there are more adjoints. So here we can actually think this object as a some separate quantity that you can always glue, that can be used to glue to n equals 1 gauge nodes without hampering the design properties of having anomaly free U1 and also having exactly marginal deformation. Okay, for I think I'm over time, but can I go for maybe 5 more minutes? So let me give you an application of this thing to SQCD. So SQCD with gauge group SUN and 2N flavors can be realized by 4 puncture sphere of 2 plus color and 2 minus color and choosing P, Q to be 1, 1. So this will give me SQCD. Slightly uncanonical, but after all, this is just SQCD. Now, this is an electric frame. I can also get magnetic frame by just exchanging these two nodes. If I do this, and I'm adding meson to here. And also appropriate for potential. Of course, that's not the only way to do color or pair of pens. Another choice that I can make is this. That is flipping the color pair of bands. And this is a non-Lagrangian theory. To understand this, it's better to go back to maximal puncture first. If this is maximal, then this is just essentially the TN theory, this non-Lagrangian theory coming from three puncture sphere. But our rule is that since this thing has opposite sign, I will add mesons to each of the punctures. And this is n equals 1 gauge node. Now there's a superpotential, trace mi mu I. So there's this operator mu associated to each puncture. For the and by choosing it as a minimal puncture, that means I'm giving a VEF to that dual meson. So that will generate, so that will pick this superposition to be a very particular form. And one can check that some of the operators will be gone and the flavor symmetry is actually reduced to the same as the SQN SQCD. Even though this theory looks very bizarre, you can check that all the anomalies and superconform indices match so that you can conjecture that these theory are equivalent in infrared. So this was found by Gade, Maruishi, Tachikawa, and Yan in this new n equals 1 duality paper. Now, that's not the end of the story. We can also choose, take the degeneration limit that merged these two maximum punctures sitting at the same pens and two minimum punctures at the same pens. And on this side, we have Tn. And I'll need to add meson for this puncture. And on this side, I can first start with maximal puncture here. Then this becomes just pi fundamental. And I'll give it, we'll have extra meson. But since I'm closing it to minimal puncture, I'm giving a VEF. From in this superpotential. So that will create mass terms to these this fundamental quarks. And that's exactly what we studied here. So if we Higgs in this way for this decomposition, this thing will fan out. This is n equals 1. Yes. Sorry. So this n will become 1 and 1. So this is n 1 equals 1 and n sub n minus 1 being 1 case. So I will have bifundamental meson between these two ones. And I will have meson here. And I will have many mesons associated to this one. Actually, these are all gauge and flavor singlets. But they have the right R charges in such a way that can kill all the bad operators that can be present. So that is our proposal. So this is, which is analogous to Alger-Seiberg and n equals 2. And we'll have various superpotentials. Superpotential term that every possible combination that has J plus J minus being 2, 2. And we have checked that anomaly coefficients and super conforming indices match on all of these dual frames. Okay, let me finish my talk by saying a couple of things about this fan. So far I've been restricting myself to generally n equals two punctures, but with just coloring. But as I said in the beginning, that's not the only possible choice you can make for the punctures. There's some. So one can argue that these punctures of n equals one classes theory is really associated to quality based boundary condition of n equals four super young males. And that topic has been recently studied by Ouyang, Yamazaki, and so on. So they have some particular picture about this quality based boundary conditions. So they somehow have something close to combinatorial description. And it is natural to ask whether there is a puncture that can be mapped to those quality BPS boundary conditions. Because that was the case in the case of n equals two punctures. N equals two punctures can be mapped to the half BPS boundary conditions of n equals four super young males. It is both are labeled by partition of n. Now, in this case, there is some possibility of generalized tweaking this picture to more generally n equals one, not n equals two. This is something that working in progress. So in all of these flavor nodes, I have 2-0 or 0-2 mesons. But I can choose to remove this or keep. And it doesn't harm the theory in the sense that it is still anomaly free and it still preserves all the properties that we want. And that can be actually traced back to the n equals 2 quivertail. In the case of n equals 2 quivertail, that's over there. I can choose to put meson here or not. So that is sort of dualizing in a very local way. It's not really dualizing. It doesn't belong to any of the dual frames that I described through the pair of pens. But I can simply add this, and that will change the theory. But nevertheless, that is still consistent to the requirements of the class S. So that's a direction that we're currently investigating. So that seems to be very consistent with the picture of this quarter BPS boundary condition that the other group is proposing. So stay tuned for it. And there are other interesting directions that we can take, one of being that going to 3D and go down to 3D and investigate 3D n equals 2 version of class S. This is not class R because the 3 manifold is not hyperbolic. And as Nikolai already mentioned, that it is also interesting to look for brain realization of this picture so that we can understand this dualizing in more stringy way. Okay, that is all I have, and thank you for your attention.
Questions? All the thank you.